This week I made a visit to the ELC, our Early Learning Center. So our old school over here is now a daycare, and we have children from 8 weeks all the way up to three-year-olds. And so once a month, Father Will or myself go over for chapel day. And so we usually take something that's interactive, like a nice piece of art or something that the kids can a look at, or I took my vestments over one time, and so I decided that I would take over the thurible, the thing that we use for incense during Mass. I realized at first thought that this is a little risky because it's hot, and there's smoke and fire, and there's three-year-olds. It's not necessarily a good mix, but for whatever reason, I was feeling daring, so I took that over, and so had the lit charcoals in there, and let the children feel the heat, and then put the incense on, and then there started, the smoke was rising up, and so you can imagine that they were very fixated and loving it. Then I asked them, well, where's the smoke going? And they said, up, and what's up? Heaven. Like, very good kids. And I said, and who else is in heaven? And they said, Jesus and God, and who else? Mary, the saints. So I was very happy that the children know who is in heaven. And it was wonderful. No one got hurt. We survived. It was all good. So one thing that was interesting as I was reflecting on the readings today is something that no one would say as in heaven is my enemies, right? The first thing we say is my enemies are going to be in heaven. No, we don't think like that, right? But I think that that's what actually is what Jesus is calling us to think of today in the gospel reading. Do we love the person who is an enemy or who persecutes us? In other words, can I imagine myself being in heaven with someone I don't like? Or is there anyone that I would not want to be in heaven with? That I would be like, no, you need to go somewhere else. Who is that person that you wouldn't want to be next to you? Or who are those people? It could be people you know, or your neighbors, or it could be politicians, or whatever it is, right? So who is it? Is there anyone that you wouldn't want to be next to? If there is somebody that fits in that space, then you're not ready for heaven, right? We're not living fully in the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is saying to us today. Now, we take great hope in this reality of purgatory, so that when I die, if there's still someone that I'd at least be uncomfortable with them being next to me, I've tried to forgive, but I still don't really like them, then purgatory is the place where that gets purified. So it's a good argument for purgatory, right? When I die, I don't love God perfectly, and I don't love other people perfectly. But when I'm in heaven, I will love God and all of the other people there perfectly, as God loves them. That purification and change, that's called purgatory. So there you go. There's a bonus for today, an argument for purgatory. We're going to move on with the homily now. Okay. So I'd like to go through the scriptures and look and see what Jesus is calling us to, because I think this is a pretty amazing end to this in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Now, this idea that you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy, where is that in Scripture? There's actually not anywhere in the Old Testament that it's specifically stated that way. The way that, as we look at Scripture, may understand that is that at the time of Moses, when the people left Egypt, came to through the desert for 40 years, and then into the Promised Land, when they went into the Promised Land, they were supposed to destroy Jericho and the other peoples there. And so there's a hate of their enemy in that respect. And that's called harem warfare, the destruction of everything, all things, all of their possessions. And the reason they had to do that, we can make sense of it, is that God knew that his people were fickle, and they would begin to worship the gods of other peoples if those things were not destroyed. So when we think of hate your enemy, well, what does that mean? Certainly there's an Old Testament context that we can make sense of that. But Jesus is saying, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And this next part is really important. That you may be children of your heavenly Father. for he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So we should love our enemies, pray for those who persecute you, because that's what it means to be a child of our Heavenly Father. We're sons and daughters of our Father. To become like him, to be part of his family, means that we become like him. We love as he loves. And Jesus shows us that. Even when he's going to the cross, he's praying for those who are torturing him and forgiving them, right? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Jesus is living fully in the kingdom of God. And in the whole gospel of Matthew chapter 5, especially 5, 6, and 7, he says, this is what it means to live in the kingdom of God. This is how you do it. And specifically today, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. So how does God love those people that are enemies of his? Jesus prays for them. God the Father lets the rain come down on them, the sun shine upon them, right? It's not only the good people who have the sun shine on them or the rain come upon their lands. It's all people. So God blesses all people. He loves them. And this is what he invites us into, to be children of our Heavenly Father, to be like Jesus. Now, you may say, think of this person that you have a tough time loving, your enemy, or at least the person who persecutes you or you don't like. You may say, God, how do you love that guy, right? Like, how do you love that person, really? I mean, come on. But that's not the attitude of a disciple of Jesus, right? The attitude of a disciple is the same question but phrased differently. It's, Jesus, how do you love that guy? Teach me, right? How do you love that guy? Teach me. That's the attitude of a disciple. And so that's what Jesus is inviting us into, is to love like he loves. And that is to live in the kingdom of God now, here and now, not to wait. Now, you may think, well, why did God create mean people, right? Why are there mean people anyway? This is a question that some of the saints have asked, so you're in good company if you're asking that question. St. Catherine of Siena wrestles with this question in her dialogues, and she posits it this way. She says, the reason God created multiple human beings, the reason he gave us neighbors who he knew would harm us, hurt us, insult us, sin against us, was because he wanted us to love with the most perfect kind of love, which is to love like he loves. Right? So if it was just you or it was just me, it would be pretty easy to love God because, after all, God is perfect and he loves me perfectly. Why wouldn't I want to love him perfectly? But then there's all these other people, and that makes it a little bit difficult. And God loves them too. Like, so, and he's given them to me so that I can be like him who loves those other people that are difficult to love. That's loving like God loves. If I was the only one, I wouldn't be invited into the way that God loves. I would have no way to love others the way that he loves them. So other people, especially mean people, are a gift, a blessing, to train me in loving like God loves. Yeah, that's an interesting twist. I heard a laugh. Okay, that's right. It's interesting, right? So God, St. Catherine continues, she says, God made our neighbors so that we can love those who don't love us, so that we can love those who hate us. And in that way, our love would be more God-like, because God loves not just the just, he loves the unjust. Okay? So God loves those who are unjust, and because they're around us, our love can become like his if we love them. Some of the saints have said that this is the highest form of love. You know, we have the two commandments, great commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the first is loving God. But they say the highest form of love is to love your neighbor, the ones who are difficult to love, because that's loving like God loves. How do we do that? Honestly, sometimes we don't want to, right? It's difficult to think of somebody I really don't like, really rubs me wrong. How do I love them? Well, the liturgy in some way invites us into that, to loving them, It's a help to us. It's in a sense a practice for the way that we live in the world. Because when we're here, we are praying for everyone else here. And maybe there is somebody else here that somewhat annoys you at times. We're not going to ask you to call out names, okay? But if there is, when we're here together in the Confiteor, we're actually at the beginning of Mass, we are praying for them. We're praying that for all of the other people that we've just prayed the Confiteor with, that they may be receive the mercy of God. In the Eucharistic prayer, we're praying for the Pope and our Bishop, but we're praying for also everyone here with us and all people in the world, all who seek God. So we are praying for others here when we're at the liturgy. Furthermore, we're worshiping God because we're worshiping Jesus and the one who loves us perfectly, the one in whom we have found mercy, right? Because none of us deserves God's love. I don't deserve God's love. There are things that are not right in my life. There are things not right in your life and not right in the world. And we're here worshiping the one in whom we have found mercy. That's the amazing thing of our God. He is merciful towards me. He loves me even though I don't deserve it. So we're worshiping him who loves us and who loves my enemy. This helps us then to become more like God. And finally, we receive Jesus in the Eucharist. We receive Jesus' resurrected body and blood so that we can become like him, so that he can live in us. So the liturgy helps us to love God like God loves, as we pray, as we worship the one who loves us and has received the Eucharist. So I invite you this week then to consider, who is it that you want to ask God, God, how do you love that guy? When you have that question arise in your heart, then say, okay, Jesus, teach me, how do you love that guy? And I want to learn from you. So to pray for your enemies this week. Second, I invite you, as we can start Ash Wednesday, we always do penance, right? And sometimes we look at penance as like, I have to give things up and I have to like punish myself or something like that. Well, that's not a very good, healthy way to look at penance. A better way is to think, how can I make sacrifices as a prayer for others? Who can I offer these sacrifices for? Maybe it is the person who is an enemy. Maybe it's a neighbor who seems far away from God, who I would really like to invite with me to church and to experience the mercy that I have found in God. So as we prepare for Ash Wednesday and the sacrifices, like our meatless Fridays and fasting on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, another fasting we're doing, think about who you can offer it for so that it may be an act of love for them. And then think about who you may want to invite then to this place where we find mercy. So we know that there are going to be people that we don't necessarily want, we don't really like. They're going to be in heaven with us. Please, God, we should pray for that. And if when there are people who we don't really want to be next to us in heaven, then we know that we're not done yet. God still has work to do. And during this time, this week, as we pray for our enemies and during our Lenten fasting, we're going to be praying that God would perfect us so that we can live fully in the kingdom of God, just as Jesus does.